This morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Job. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Job, and we'll be doing some reading in that text, and hopefully we will be able to learn some lessons from Job. As we begin our lesson this morning, I've highlighted for us Job chapter 1 and verse 21. And the text says, "And he said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I think most all of us are familiar with Job, the story of Job. And I thought it appropriate today for us to take a look at the story of Job. And I believe that there are some lessons that we can learn. And I hope they will be encouraging lessons to us. Because Job, he was in some difficult times. And how God blessed him in the end is significant for all of us. So what I'd like to do today is to take a look at the story of Job and look at how it all got started. Look at chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. The text says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them." Well, the Holy Spirit reveals to us that Job was indeed a great man. The most important aspect that we see here is his spiritual aspect or spiritual characteristics. And that he was blameless and upright, and he feared God, and he turned away from evil. But he was also materially very wealthy. In fact, the text says he was the greatest of all the men of the East. It speaks about his children, his 7 sons, and his 3 daughters. And it talks about that they would get together on each one on his day. And I'm assuming that that's talking maybe about their birthday. They would get together and they would celebrate. Well, as we're introduced to Job and how great he is, and we're introduced to a story about the Lord and Satan, and they have a conversation. And this is one of the most unique passages in all of the Bible. That is, we have the Lord and Satan having a discussion. So let's read this text together. If you'll notice, beginning at verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he has. He will surely curse thee to thy face. Then the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. When you read that passage, if you're like me, it's hard to imagine the fact that the Lord and Satan have a conversation. But they did. And they were discussing about Job. And the short of it is that what Satan was doing, he was accusing the Lord of protecting Job. And he was also saying that the only reason Job serves God is because you have protected him and you have given him all of these great possessions. So Satan proposes a test. Satan says, well, just take all of that away from him and he'll not serve you. Well, God accepts the challenge because God knows the hearts of men and women, and God knew that Job was not serving him just because God had blessed him with material things. But nonetheless, God says to Satan, I'm going to give you the power to take away all these gods, but you just can't touch him. Well, in the next section of Scripture, we see Satan attacks Job. Let's begin reading at verse 13. Now it happened on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, that a messenger came to Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. That is one of the most heartbreaking passages that you'll read about in Scripture. Job had a really bad day. Imagine now, Job, in the kind of man he was spiritually, in all that he had physically, certainly we would conclude and say, Job had it made. He was really, really in a good position on this earth. But the devil attacks. And four different messengers come to Job and give him the news of his possessions and lastly, his sons and his daughters are dead. I know that we feel for Job, and we can't imagine how it must have felt for him to go through all that he went through. But I want us to notice how Job responds to this news. Notice with me now, if you will, in verses 20 through 22. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. I want you to notice in this text the things that the Holy Spirit emphasizes about Job's response to the news of him losing all of his possessions and even losing his children. The first thing the text says here in verse 20 is that he tears his robe and he shaves his head. And indeed, those are actions of someone who is upset, who is mourning, who is greatly touched by the fact that all these things have happened to him. But yet he falls to the ground, and the text says, and worshiped. What did Job worship? Who did Job worship? Why did Job worship? Well, the next verse really does help us to understand that he gives God credit for all that he has. We see that this worship is directed toward God. His worship is in thanksgiving and appreciation to God for all that he has been given. Notice again, "Naked I came from my mother's womb." This is true with all of us. We are born with nothing. And the text says, Job says, "And naked I shall return there." He makes a clear statement about we came into this world with nothing and we're going to leave with nothing. We're not going to take anything with us when we die. So Job is recognizing and even says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So Job does something in his worship that is very important for us to see today. Job was greatly blessed, and then it's all taken away from him. How does Job respond to this? He worships God. He gave God credit for everything that he had. And he even praises God, even though God has decided to take everything away from him. That is an awesome attitude to have in regards to our life. Whatever we have, whatever we've been given, and if we lose it all, can we be like Job and still praise God? You notice in the text that it says that he did not sin. So I go back up to verse 20 when he arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. Maybe we would look at that and say, well, he's expressing an anger. And maybe he was. It shows that he was emotional about all of this. He had emotions. Do you recall in the New Testament when Paul said in Ephesians 4, to be angry and sin not? You know, I think most of us have really concluded that if you get angry, well, you've automatically sinned. Well, that's not true. Anger is an emotion that even God has. You can read throughout Scripture where God becomes angry. But we know that God doesn't sin. So I think the text is revealing to us that Job was upset. He may have even been angry. But what does the text say? He did not sin. We might even look at it in this way, that when Job gets the news of everything that he's lost, and even his children, he may have cursed, or he may have gotten angry and thrown something, or he may have been ugly and said something to the servants that came and reported to him these things. But no, he did not sin. Notice the text also says he did not blame God. Sometimes we may want to blame God. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Why, Lord, have you allowed this to happen to me? But I want you to notice in this text that Job does not blame God. What about the application? Right now, we are going through some really strange days and unprecedented for us. Going through lots of things that none of us have ever experienced before. If we're staying at home and trying to keep away from everyone as we're being directed by the federal government and our local government, churches have closed, postponed services. We're not meeting together in a public way. You're not able to, maybe many of you not able to go to work. School's canceled. You can't get with your families. You can't get with your friends. Where can we go? Maybe it's a great time and you think, well, it'd be a great time to go on vacation or go. Where are you going to go? It's like this everywhere. You know, businesses shutting down, restaurants shutting down except for drive-thrus with some. And I must say to us, there are so many thousands of people on this earth that are getting sick, that have tested positive for this virus. There are thousands of people that have died. If you have social media like a Facebook or Twitter, you may now be hearing of friends or family that have tested positive for this virus. We are definitely in difficult times. And my guess is that many of us are fearful. Are we going to catch it? We're afraid to go here. We're afraid to go there. If we're, you know, cleansing our hands, washing our hands. We're trying to stay away from folks. But at some point, maybe you have to go to the grocery or you have to get out. You have to maybe do some errands that you have to do. We're being very precautious. And I think we should be very precautious. But I'm wondering how we're reacting to all of this, if we're reacting the way Job did. I'm not sure that everything that has happened so far to us today can even yet be compared to what Job went through. You need to probably go back and read through again what happened to Job. But Job responded by worshiping God. That's what we're doing today. And I hope that because of our circumstances, that you will worship God every day. And you will give God credit for all that you have. There's nothing that we have that God hasn't given to us. And if all of that is taken away from us, are we still going to worship God? I know a number of you have mentioned about your 401ks and your savings, your retirement funds and so forth. The stock market has, taken a beating in the last few weeks. You've probably seen your retirement incomes take a big hit. Is it possible that we would turn and blame God? Is it possible that we would be angry and sin? Yeah, I think it's possible that we could do those things. But I would hope we would learn the lessons from Job. Job went through as much or more than anything we could imagine. And yet he worshiped the Lord. He gave God credit and praised God for all that he had. And even when all was taken away, he did not sin, nor did he blame God. That in and of itself is a tremendous lesson for us today. I hope that each of us will not blame God nor sin. And just because we're not publicly meeting together as a church, that we just put aside and not consider worshiping God or praying to God or singing praises to God or reading and studying His Word, this ought to cause us to want to do all of those things even more. I've already noticed several of you that have mentioned the fact of how much you miss getting together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church, and assembling together and worshiping together. And certainly, I've missed that greatly. And I know you have too. But I want to leave us today with something that's very, very important from this story. And as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Turn to the end of Job, to chapter 42. And I want us to notice just a couple of verses here. And certainly, when you go back and read the whole book of Job, there were other things that happened that are quite significant. But I wanted to conclude this morning by noticing with you the rest of the story. In chapter 42, beginning at verse 10, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold." Notice verse 12. "And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys." If you go back to the first chapter, you'll notice that God did double all of his possessions. And verse 13, jump down to verse 16. "And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons four generations." When you notice back up in verse 13, God blessed him with 7 sons and 3 daughters. And verses 15 talk about how beautiful Job's daughters are. Verse 17, "And Job died an old man and full of days." What I'd like for us to notice here in this great story is that God in the end blessed Job with more than he ever had before. What do we learn from that? What I'd like to suggest to us that God blesses us in the end more than we have ever had in this life also. In the book of James, chapter 1, this is a passage that some few months ago we had a Bible class studying the book of James, and everyone was encouraged to memorize these verses, and these verses have certainly a significant meaning for us today. James says in James 1, verse 2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Again, notice the idea that we're to stop and to consider that all of the testing and the trials of our faith in this life, it produces an endurance. In other words, there's good that can come from it. That we will become stronger as a result of difficulties. So what about today? We're going through some difficult times. What is the other side going to be for us? Turn now, lastly, to the book of Mark, chapter 10. And I want to read with you, beginning at verse 26. The text says, "And they were even more astonished and said to him, 'Then who can be saved?'" Jesus had just talked about how difficult it is in verses 23 through 25 that the wealthy can go to heaven. He didn't say it's impossible. He just said it's difficult. So the disciples asked, "Well, who can be saved then?" Now, verse 27, "Looking upon them, Jesus said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God.' Peter began to say to him, 'Behold, we have left everything and followed you.' Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life.'" I want to suggest to you that Jesus' reply to his disciples, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus answers just as the story of Job had unfolded. There were difficult times that Job went through, but in the end, God blessed him more than he had ever had before. Jesus says that when we obey him, when we do his will, we may give up everything that we've got. We may lose everything we've got. But we're going to gain, he says in verse 30, 100 times as much now. Maybe when you obey the gospel, you lose your family. They turn against you. But what do you gain? You gain 100 times family. That is, brothers and sisters and mothers and children. He also says there will be persecutions. There will be difficulties. Job went through some difficult times. But in the end, how did God treat Job? He blessed him so greatly. Jesus said, "And in the world to come, eternal life." I think it's so very, very important for us to understand today, when we look at the lessons from Job, it's not just that we concentrate on what he had and what he lost, but really the story is about what God did for him in the end. He blessed him more than ever before. Brother and sister in Christ, we are greatly blessed. We have so very, very much. And we need to be thankful and praise God for that. And if we lose everything, we still need to praise and bless God. Give thanks to God. Naked we came into this world, and naked is how we're going to leave. Most important thing, worshiping and praising God, not blaming God and not sinning, but keep on trusting Him and obeying Him through our whole life. There might be someone that has not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I put just a few notes here on the board. And if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to do that. You need to do that today. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, there'd be no greater time than today to have your sins washed away. I thank you for listening today. We're going to end our service now with a word of prayer. And we pray that God blesses each of you to a greater faith and greater service to serve Him, the only true and living God. Whatever Satan throws our way, remember, we came into this world naked, and we're going to leave this world naked. But keep worshiping, keep praising, giving God the credit, giving God the thanks for all that you have and all that you ever will have. And yet, do not sin and do not blame God. Let's pray. Our most gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we're indeed grateful and thankful for your love and for your kindness. We're so thankful for your servant Job, all that he means to us, an example to us. And we thank you, dear God, for revealing this to us. May we ever learn the lessons that we ought to learn about living our lives, not being attached to this old world and our possessions, but trusting and loving and obeying you. Thank you, dear God, for all that you give us, all that you bless us with. Help us to get through these difficult days. We pray for this virus to go away soon. We pray that there be no more deaths. We pray that no one else will be infected. But we know that you know what's best and you will do what's best. And whatever happens, whatever comes, we love you and we trust you. And we pray, dear God, that we will never sin against you or blame you. Thank you for listening to our prayers. And in Jesus' name, and amen.